Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Sam is here. Omar is here. Avery is here. And another episode, another week where we get to talk about what happened in the world of hockey and what we might have seen on the internet. I don't know, through the list of topics I have in front of me here. First one I kind of want to get to. Actually, congratulations are in order to Sam and to Omar for being mentioned as Twitter accounts to follow on The Athletic. I know through Sam it's more the broadcast, but she's included in on this. So Avery, join me in congratulating our compatriots as their Woo! Twitter accounts have been deemed worthy of following according to The Athletic. Yes, also, if you notice on the byline, my name is there. So maybe I had something to do with it. Maybe I didn't. You'll never know.
Both of our accounts actually suck. And Julian was just like, no, we have to put them in.
I was in the group chat, the broadcast group chat, and you're like, why is the account suddenly like picking up so many followers? And then Georgia was like, oh, we're in the end.
It's okay. Look, man, your Twitter accounts are very interesting. Omar, obviously, for the gifts and the humor. Sam, looking to dunk on anybody. Well, not looking to dunk on people.
Does.
She will just dunk on people.
100%. 100%. We need the shirts. We need the shirts. I will be the first one to buy a Sam 100% Chang shirt. Like, does not miss. It's hilarious. Like, if you ever want to laugh, just go through Sam's feed and just look at the attempts at people trying to come for Sam, and just Sam just like comes lock and load. It's hilarious.
I just feel bad for anyone who ends up in the mentions, because it's just like once I see anyone tweet anything like real like sus, I'm like, shh. Ooh.
I don't feel bad for them. Why would you
volunteer? You shouldn't. I should rephrase it. Like, maybe that I don't feel bad for them. It's more just like, yeah, I hope
you don't know what box you open.
You better turn off your mentions, brother.
Julian, you missed the brand synergy in the mentions.
Oh.
I completely missed that. Thank God you're here, Avery. Don't forget to check out Omar's great show, In the Mentions, also available through Yahoo Sports.
It's a lot better now that the team doesn't upset me.
I was about to say, like, you've come a long way from the start of that show to now. You do a great job on that show, and you seem more comfortable doing it.
Yeah, honestly, I think at first it was very just like trying to figure out what type of person you want to be. This is like, hey, do I want to be like this or do I want to be like that? And it's like, no, actually, I'm just going to be me and just do a whole bunch of stuff. And it seems to be working, which is great. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to get a second year. So, yeah, hopefully when the playoffs start, I can go longer than the first round. But who knows? I don't know.
Maybe you just need to pick like a secondary team.
Exactly.
I can't do that. I know there.
Yes,
I I can't because like the care is not going to be anywhere close. You know what I mean? Like if the second team gets eliminated, it's just like okay, whatever. But like I won't like I can't. I've invested so much in the Leafs where it's just like I can't just like hop in and have that same level of investment in another team. I know other people can do that. I just can't, annoying myself. That's why it's so hard to try to watch like other sports. Like I care to an extent, you know, unless like Jamaica when I made the World Cup, then that'd be a different story. But that'd be like a finally.
That's all we're missing in the men's World Cup, Caribbean representation.
They can't freaking
or at least make the islands represented here.
Yeah. It's okay. Team West Indies over the World Cup.
Yes. Yes, we still want that to happen, even though, you know, the World Cup of hockey has been pushed back. One other thing I want to mention, a little bit more serious. Very interesting tweet coming out from Joni Meyer Crothers. You might know her son as Isaiah, the unfortunate victim of the bullying incidents with Mitchell Miller, who the Boston Bruins tried to sign. Isaiah got to spend the evening with Wayne Simmonds, and he will be at the Maple Leafs Red Wings game on the Monday. So by the time you're all listening and watching this episode, that game will have already happened. For those who are unaware, Wayne Simmonds' agent happens to be Eustace King, who happens to represent Mitchell Miller. Just going to mention that detail. Just going to throw that out there. But it is really cool that Isaiah got to spend time with Wayne.
Yeah, that was a nice timeline cleanser for sure. Just like seeing it, it was like, oh wow, that's like really sick. And the fact that it was for his birthday too was awesome. So, you know, hopefully he has a great time at the game, but not a great time because, you know, I want my team to win. Sorry, Isaiah, but I want the Leafs to win.
Wow.
But besides
the first first real apology he's gotten.
No kidding. But yeah, but like
that
was really cool. That's Simmonds.
That was well done
for sure.
Okay. All right. Last little random note before we get to the actual topics. Did you guys see that photo of Christina Aguilera and Sidney Crosby at that?
Dude, that was so random.
Very Omar, random.
Jeez, Omar, are you okay, buddy?
They have to stop it. They
have to spill on yourself.
You know, they have to stop making hockey players take pictures of celebrities. This is weird. Because, you know, like, if you're a star in, like, basketball, you're a celebrity. If you're a star in hockey, you're just, like, a person that's good at hockey. And, like,
who just happens to make millions of dollars.
You know what I mean? So, like, seeing that picture of, like, Crosby with Christina Aguilera was just so, like, weird. You know? It was just like, right. Okay.
I don't know. Like for me, like on Twitter, like I put this out, like I still don't know who is supposed to be more excited. Like Sidney Crosby Sidney Crosby doesn't come across as the type of person who's all like, yeah, like I'm into like meeting these people and this is my celebrity crush and all that. Like I almost feel like he was maybe not annoyed, but it's like, oh, okay. I met Christina Aguilera today. Maybe I listened to Genie in a Bottle in 1999. Maybe I didn't.
Like, hey, Christina, you like that forecheck? That face-off win?
Genie in a Bottle should be his personal goal song.
It should be. Or Dirty.
Ooh, yeah.
No. No.
Imagine Crosby twerking. Imagine Sidney Crosby twerking after a goal.
I mean, he has custom pants, man. I mean.
Don't do this. Don't do this. This is a family show.
What if I said I was so wrong? I didn't say anything offensive there, Julian. I just said twerking.
I'm not trying to get you down I'm trying to keep you on the path of straight and narrow.
Yo, you hear your accent switch for a second there? You hear the
straight
accent?
I heard it too. I'm keeping you on the straight and narrow.
He went for the
door straight from the parts. This reminds me of a really terrible pun that Ian Mendez made to me on another show that we do together.
Yeah.
That Christina Aguilera should have posed with Evgeny Malkin, and the pun would have been Gino in a Bottle.
Thank you.
That is a terrible pun, Ian Mendez. If you're listening to this terrible dad joke,
yeah, that's a tough one for sure.
Terrible. All right, we've gone through the random internet stuff. I want to talk about another internet thing that I'm associating with the group chat, essentially. I have not seen anyone else come up with this term. As far as I'm concerned, we should be coining this term, and I want to read Pierre Lebrun reference this in like March or something. Mm-hmm. Tank awareness.
Ooh, actually, I need to give credit. I saw it from Kyle Cushman. That was the first person I saw it from.
Fine. So yeah. Fine. Kyle Cushman, we will give credit to you, but
it's a fabulous term. I love it so much.
We at Zone Time are going to use this. We're going to co-opt this, and we're going to make this a thing. Because there are teams out here who really should be a little bit more aware of their tanking abilities, considering how good Connor Bedard is. I don't have that tweet in front of me of how good he's been over the last how many games in the WHL, but dude should be, there should be no problem about him being number one overall when it comes time for it. How are the Vancouver Canucks? I mean, they've got their own issues, but in terms of their tank awareness, what? I mean, they have their own. They do have their own issues. That's as far as I'm concerned. I'm not mentioning anything specific with them. I'm just saying their tank awareness. Is it on the up? Is it on the down? How is it looking with Connor Bedard's favorite team?
Low tank awareness. Low.
Yeah, that's low. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now they're out of the top 10. That's low. Low tank awareness.
They're out of the top 10 right
they're
now?
They're out of the top. They're out of the bottom 10.
Oh,
Washington's
no. Yo, they won.
Washington fell off.
Win 7 games. They're at 8.
Oh man, we were all wrong.
They can't. They can't lose.
Wow. See, if we could just take that clip and like go back into like rip a hole in the space-time continuum, and then show Sam that clip from like in the past, so now they can't lose. That's hilarious. They've won.
I mean, it's exactly what you would think would happen, right? Like you lose enough to think that, hey, you should actually do what you should do and make a run for the top 3 picks. But as everyone predicted, everyone who's watched the Canucks before predicted, what they actually end up doing is going on a run that's just good enough to get them to just either just miss the playoffs or just make the playoffs and get like a 14th overall pick.
Yeah, they're a middling team, man, and that's like the worst, especially for a team like Vancouver that like for the longest time hasn't decided and committed to like being one thing or the other. They're right back where they shouldn't be. They're in the middle. Like they don't know whether
that's what they are, though, right? That's they were never as bad as they were to start. That was just lucky, and they're not good enough to get out of the middle. So.
Middle, not just a great Jimmy Eat World song, but also like because of how meh so many other teams have been in front of them, it's not like they're just like it's one thing for them to be in the middle. As of this recording, like if they win their next game and everyone else in front of them kind of sucks, like they're in a playoff spot. Like, I don't know how to feel about the Vancouver Canucks all of a sudden emerging from the depths of hell and trying to be competitive. The only person I feel good for is Bruce Boudreau, who might still be on thin ice anyway, because he's not JR's guy.
But here's the interesting thing is that like, and like Avery, like you can jump on this afterwards, yeah, is that like, if do they do the same thing that they did last year, right? Because last year, the big question was, do you trade JT Miller or do you sign JT Miller? And if they're in a playoff spot at the trade deadline, do they trade Bo Horvat? Or do they keep him and say, hey, let's go on a run?
Oh, my gosh.
That would be fascinating to see. I would love to see. This is wild. Yeah. They might be in the exact same position. So the question is, do they learn from their mistakes? Or do they just say, screw it. We're here. Let's go.
Watch this team long enough. They will not learn. And they will keep Bo Horvat. And they will. I've seen this team enough. Like, they will keep him. Try and be a playoff team. Get their heads kicked in probably in the first round and be right back here again.
But what if they don't? What if they go on a miracle run?
Okay. See, I'm no. St. Louis. St. Louis ruined the league, man. St. Louis ruined the league. Because has that perspective. Every single GM has that perspective. Freaking St. Louis is last in January. They want every GM has that same perspective. So I guarantee Vancouver is believing that same thing. They're 1 point back of a wild card spot, right? And they're what? They're like, well, hold on. They're
as of this recording.
As of this recording, and they're 6 points out of third in the Pacific, right? Seattle is going nuts. I don't know what's going on with them. They're going nuts.
Here's the thing with Seattle. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, they might fall off. They also might not. They might actually have a good enough team to be a playoff team. Like, at some point, like, yes, there are teams that you have to look at their tank awareness. Some of those teams eventually graduate on out, like New Jersey. We don't have to think about tank awareness for them this year.
No.
Everyone kind of thinks of them as a lock. They'd have to have a catastrophic second half of the year for them to miss the playoffs now.
Even the Islanders. Islanders have surprised me, too. I checked the standings. Like
the Islanders, like, I'll give them this. If it wasn't for that crappy start to last year,
they would have made
play all their games on the road.
100%.
Oh, come on.
100%. I agree with you. Like, not even a question. Because they were seriously on a playoff-bound pace, like, the second half of the league. But they were just too far behind.
Seriously. And this is it's not a bad team. This team was in the conference final, like, the year before they sucked. This is a team I thought genuinely had a chance at advancing to the final and being, like, a really good team. They they need the UBS arena to be made. That kind of derailed them a little
bit. Yeah. Yeah, playing 85 games straight in the road don't help your chances whatsoever.
No, it absolutely doesn't. But the ultimate point is like, if Vancouver makes this run, I mean, good Lord. I don't know, man. I mean, we have to wait and see, but they really should be tanking for Connor Bedard. But also, I don't know. Maybe it's more fun to see them do this. Maybe it's just more chaos.
Bedard has 22 goals and 31 assists for 53 points in 24 games. All these bad teams who are trying to not be bad, you're out of your freaking mind. Anaheim, perfect. They're the Stanley
Cup. They just won their first regulation game like last week.
Good. Yeah. Good for them. Good. They're doing it perfectly. Anaheim, you're doing great. Columbus, you're doing great. Chicago, you've come back. Ottawa, you come back. No, I'm sorry. I have no remorse for Ottawa. The entire summer, I was hearing their crap. Philadelphia starting to come back. Buffalo starting to come back. Nashville still surprised me, man. I don't know. Nashville, that still surprised me. I thought
San Jose's tanking right there. San Jose's doing a great tank.
I don't know how. Because, like, every day I'm seeing highlights of Erik Karlsson, like being his former self. I don't know how they're still so bad.
That's the best way to tank, right? Like, you have, like, the Ducks and the Sharks. Like, you've got just enough exciting players. Like, so you got Erik Karlsson, you've got Trevor Zegras, Troy Terry. Like, just enough to keep your fans interested and for the hockey to be fun, but you still lose.
Yeah.
It is the perfect way to tank.
Yeah. Fun tank.
Because at the end of the day, you have an exciting core and you have an opportunity to add to that core with a good draft pick.
No one's doing the Tim Murray model anymore. Oh, you're playing well? You're gone. That was a wild. Yo, those are wild. The 2014, 2015 years, those are wild. Any person who was successful were gone. Traded. That was ruthless tanking.
Tim Murray did all of that and he still didn't get the draft pick he wanted.
No, he just kicked freaking Jack Eichel in the chest the minute he walked into the league. Well, you know, it's a disappointing day for our fans, but it's okay. It's like,
imagine looking at Jack Eichel.
Still a good freaking player, man.
He's like, franchise player. Like, he's a really good player.
Like, are you serious? Like,
do you know how many teams would kill for Jack Eichel right now?
A lot of them.
Yep.
A lot of teams would.
That's okay. Know, give it another year. He'll be available.
Oh, wow. You know what's funny though with Connor Bedard?
We talked about
You know what's funny with Connor Bedard? How he has 53 points in less than 30 games. Like, junior hockey was so goofy 35 years ago that if he might end the year with, say, 120, 130 points, and it wouldn't be close to a CHL record. It won't even be close to any CHL records because Murray Lemieux had 282 points. Like, how? 282 points in the queue.
Was he legit playing against pylons in Laval? Like, what is
those
this?
Numbers? I don't understand those numbers. I still don't understand that.
It's a hilarious Google search. So you see some of those numbers of, like, those, like, old 80s players who, like, came up. this so freaking unfair. Like, how do you not just like give up every game? Like, oh, Martin, nah, we quit. like, we're done.
Like, Ray Ferraro had 108 goals in the WHL. 108. like, what? It won. You're like, who was like a bag of marshmallows?
Nah, man. They just did like, I feel, can you just imagine those junior games? It's just like, yo, we need guys to play. We need anybody off the street.
Oh, my God.
And you just look up. It's like, oh, damn, it's Mario Lemieux.
108 goals is the dumbest thing I've ever
It's like Ray Ferraro. Ray Ferraro's like the greatest goal scorer ever. No, Ray Ferraro, great player, obviously. That's great, so broadcaster, funny. Too. But, like, that's amazing.
Like, oh, my God. No one in the modern game, like, if Carbonaro would hit 70 goals, we'd be like, wow, we can't even comprehend him hitting 100 goals in a season. It's not going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh, man. Holy, that's so funny.
I have a Connor Bedard question for Sam. Whenever Connor Bedard mentions anything about watching the Vancouver Canucks, how do Canucks fans feel?
I haven't seen a lot of people like getting hyped about it because I think we've all just reconciled ourselves to the fact that it's not going to happen.
I feel.
This team has never had a first overall pick, and they're probably just never going to.
I guess
technically they had a first and they traded down to get the Sedins, but like whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, Brian Burke's not walking through that door to make that trade though.
Oh my gosh. It would be an interesting conversation, I guess, to have like later on in the year. Like obviously there are teams who like would be cool to have Bedard, but like what team like needs him? You know what I mean? Like,
is that a future zone time topic? Which teams
I think it could have been darned. I think, maybe so. Like in like March or April. I think like what team like needs him? Arizona, you don't count.
Wow, you don't think Arizona could use a player like Connor Bedard to fill the seats Arizona at Mullet Arena?
Arizona could use any player, however, it's Arizona.
A shirt for Bobar that says, however,
Yeah, it's
we need a live show of the draft lottery because I need a live reaction of Omar's face if, say, Ottawa or Arizona wins the lottery.
Yo, okay, here's the thing. If Arizona wins, I'll be mad, but it'll be like, okay. If Ottawa wins, I'll be so freaking pissed off because, like, this guy's going to, like, cool, awesome, that's great. Now I'm going to be murdered by freaking Bedard freaking four times a year. Like,
on a team owned by Deadpool and possibly The Weeknd.
Literally by like every celebrity. Every celebrity is going to be owning this freaking team.
Blake Lively is going to be at Ottawa Senators games.
Oh my God.
On the bright side, Omar, at least it won't be like a Connor McDavid situation where like he's from Toronto and everyone's just like, oh, he should be playing for the Leafs because he's from Toronto. No issue for Connor Bedard there.
That's true. It's okay. That day for McDavid is coming soon.
2026. Woo!
If Connor Bedard goes to Ottawa, wouldn't that and if Ryan Reynolds buys that team, the Senators, that's like the second time Vancouver gets kicked in the nuts.
Ottawa will just have like the actor famously from Vancouver and the generational player famously also from Vancouver.
You know, it'd be so funny, and I doubt think this could happen, but it'd be hilarious. It'd be right up Ryan Reynolds' alley. Is that like, say Ryan Reynolds, like everything goes in place, like he's the owner of Ottawa, right? And he goes up to announce the pick and then brings up a Canucks jersey. He's like, oh wait, sorry, wrong team. That's right up his alley. I don't think he could do that though. That'd be hilarious. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
my
would
God.
Be, nothing would surprise me.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be like the greatest NHL draft moment in history.
It would top last year's for sure. Bless freaking Hughes, man. Last year's draft was hilarious. It was so fun.
Last year's draft was pretty crazy.
Holy, bless him. We need more drafts like that. Except, you know, let's not have the freaking GM of the year like halfway through the first round.
Yeah, E-D-O-T. We don't need that.
Well, I don't know what the heck that was for.
Idiot. you guys remember when? This just reminded me something. When the Sedins got drafted, do you guys remember who was drafted ahead of the Sedin twins? Patrick Stefan.
Yep, that was Patrick Stefan has the was part of one of the funniest moments, in my opinion, of NHL history. When, I don't know if everyone is aware, the day that he was murdered by Ray Ferraro on the broadcast, when he missed that open
net. With his words and not actually murdered.
Just no, with his words. And he missed, so he misses the empty net, and then it comes down and they score. And then Alex Ray Hemsky. Ferraro just goes off. Patrick Steffen, you should be embarrassed.
He goes, that was so funny.
That was the funniest thing. I fell in love with Ray Ferraro that day, man. Hilarious. It's so brutal honesty. And I think it was because of that win that like gave Edmonton more points. So then Chicago won the draft lottery and got Kane. Yep. I'm pretty sure it came down to that game. Really? Or something. Yeah, I think it came down to that game.
Got a point.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Like that, after like Kane as like a Edmonton. With all the number one picks that they burned through.
Oh, it would just be the fifth, so it'd be 5 and 7.
Well, now you open up an alternate timeline now, because if Patrick Kane is an Oiler, and back then the Oiler, that was their first real rebuilding year after the Cup final.
Yeah.
The alternate timeline. Do the Oilers go through 10 years without the playoffs? Would Kane probably not?
That is true. That, yeah, Hall, like, yeah, man, like Kane and Hall are different players, right? Like, Hall, I think, needed some time to kind of come into his own where he can, like, you know, kind of carry a team. And I think that 1 year in New Jersey was probably like that one, like, this was like Hall's like peak level. And then, is he still playing? I haven't heard his name in like, he's still Taylor in Boston, Hall? Right?
He's still in Boston.
He's still in Boston.
Wow.
I haven't
seen a single highlight of him from like in a while.
He was supposed to be hurt to start the year, and he was healthy enough to start the year at least.
Interesting.
Remember he won a Hart trophy?
Yeah, he snapped. He had like 94 points, I think, on the doubles.
Yeah.
Is Taylor Hall gonna be like a forgotten Hart trophy winner? Like we think of like a Connor's obviously got, Leon's obviously got. But like when we look through the list of Hart trophy winners, are we gonna look at Taylor Hall and be like, he won?
He's definitely not Devils, at the top.
No, like he got to the first round of the playoffs that year and they were done. Like that was it.
Yeah, the Leafs special.
That might have been the last time the Devils were in the playoffs.
Yep.
It was.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Good times.
Anyway, Taylor Hall.
I don't know if Kane would have changed the trajectory, but I feel like a young Patrick Kane on that Oilers team would have probably killed Andrew Ferentz.
Personally, I think a lot of things would change if Patrick Kane were an Edmonton Oiler, but I don't know if we have a show for that.
Wow.
That's as far as I really want to go with Patrick Kane on that. Let's move on to another topic while we still have time and we're not canceled. John Tortorella was interviewed by the NHL on TNT Group a couple days ago. And normally, or at least when we've discussed John Tortorella on the show, we either want him to be in some press conference where he blows a gasket and is entertaining for everybody, or he talks about how the game is like not the way that it used to be and you have to learn how to play defense. And that's why Connor McDavid's not going to be a good player, whatever he said about Connor McDavid. But he actually said something really interesting last week when he was asked about like coaching this generation of stars. And to quote him, he said, it's a young, dumb league, which if you see the quote on its own, you'd think like, oh, maybe he's speaking in the negative. And then he mentions the fact that like there are so many more mistakes now in the game than back in the day. But he also says about how coaches have actually evolved and they don't have to be nearly as perfect compared to what it was like back in the day. I'm just curious, like the fact that John Tortorella actually said something insightful, as opposed to, not to say he wouldn't say something insightful, it's just considering how we would normally talk about John Tortorella, this is very different. What do you guys think about the fact that maybe this league is actually, maybe he's onto something. Maybe there are more mistakes being done, but we're seeing more skill and it's less structured. Like, what do you guys think of that?
Well, I would personally like to congratulate John Tortorella for finally making it to 2022. Congratulations.
Okay.
He told me.
We throw like, a lot of shade been, on today's show.
Been, but like the league hockey has been more skilled for years now. This has been the conversation for years where the way that we look at players and evaluate players and draft players has been the focus on hockey IQ and hockey sense, and that things like strength and toughness and whatever that can be grown later on. So that's been something that's been happening for a while now. Now, I don't know how it looks like on the coaching side, because I'm not a coach. I've never been a coach, but like,
not yet.
Nah, I'm too emotional to be a coach.
You should. That's exactly why you should be a coach. But anyway,
I don't know. But hearing John Tortorella say that, it's just, okay, yeah, congratulations. I mean, you're telling us something you already know. Like, yes, the league is more skilled. Yes, players are making more mistakes because players are now being given the freedom to make more offensively creative moves. Martin St. Louis said that when he was literally hired. He doesn't like coaching in systems because it handcuffs players and it makes star players average. Love that quote. Right. So like, he's saying things that we already knew. So congratulations that he's finally realized and is not freaking saying like, oh, the game's going backwards. And oh my God, there's no respect for players because they can do things that other players couldn't do 50 years ago. Like, give me a break, man. Okay. Yes. Yes. Congratulations. Good. You finally realize that, yes, there are score skill players and you're giving room for skill players to be skill players. Great. Awesome. Now, I hope when the day comes when the Philadelphia Flyers are not bad and are good, and there are skill players there, that you stick with that point and continue to let these skill players be skill players and don't freaking bench them and say like, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. It's a 1-0 hockey game. You have to block shots and stuff. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I wanted to.
That was a really good rant. I didn't even think to get any like food or distract myself.
It's like, I don't know, man. Like, it just like, I read that and I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for telling. Yeah, thanks. The sky is blue.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, no, but I mean, John Tortorella is a smart coach. You're absolutely right. He should know that. I look forward to the day seeing the Philadelphia Flyers with Morgan Frost and Cam York dominate. Well, I don't know if Cam York will be. I mean, maybe Cam York might do something well, but probably not on the same level as the guy who was picked after him. You guys do know who was picked after him, right?
Was it Caulfield de la Cole?
It was Cole Caulfield. Flyers fans, yikes. Any other thoughts on Tortorella before I move on to the better of the two Robertson brothers?
No, I agree with Omar. Like, you know, I'm glad better late than never. But yeah, John, welcome to 2022. Like, this is how hockey has moved forward. And this is how hockey will keep progressing as we go on through 2023, 2024. And more of these guys like the Trevor Zegras, the Troy Terrys, the Connor McDavids do things that we've never seen before in the sport of hockey. So really, it's really, you either adapt or you die as a head coach in this league now.
Actually, you know what? There's one thing I want to add to that. I want to see that change in the playoffs, because as far as I'm concerned, like, I still think there's some kind of structure that teams want to play in the playoffs. When that starts to change in the postseason, notwithstanding the Battle of Alberta, where everyone just decided to score a bunch of goals, then I'll really, really feel that like we're starting to see a change. Because in the regular season, I think it's fine. But I think in the playoffs, we're still used to seeing teams kind of at least be a little bit more safe, I guess. But we'll have to wait and see on that. That's just my humble take on it.
My only takeaway from this entire chat is a lot of teams should be interested in JT Miller.
Oh my God. You should be JT
Miller. Can I interest you in like a point per game player? He's very offensive, very creative. Like, don't worry about systems. He can score. Just go for it. You want him. Do it.
Send what us about a salary?
That's what sucks. That bad. They should have waited.
he's a point per game player. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. There are players who make more than him who aren't point per game players.
Yeah, but he makes a lot of money and doesn't play damn defense
for a long time.
You get scoring and.
But what if he doesn't score? Then what else can he do?
What if his skills erode?
I don't know what to tell you. He's on a point per game. That's all I've got for you.
if the Canucks ever do deal JT Miller, you will see Sam packing his boxes, calling the U-Haul.
Oh my God!
They can only do it this year. They have to do it this year before the new contract kicks in next year.
We need an emergency zone time if they trade him. If they trade him this season, we need an emergency zone time.
I'll be too busy celebrating.
You'll be celebrating at the airport because that's where you're gonna be at. It's like, why are the planes around you?
Drive him to the airport.
Oh my god.
Well, that one from Brian Burke.
Shout out JT Miller, who, if he ever hears these episodes his own time and knows that maybe some people would like him gone.
He could be very good for a team that is like literally about to win the cup and needs a player like that. I think for a team like the Canucks where they're middling and need to do a huge overhaul, it makes absolutely no sense. It's nothing personal, just not a good fit.
Did he play for the Sioux Greyhounds?
No.
Hey,
no,
Kyle, no, yeah, this guy no, wants it.
Omar wants him. I don't know where I'm supposed to point. He's probably going to be far right, maybe, or far left. I don't know. But
Kyle
Dubas. Come on, Kyle.
If he played at the Sioux, he didn't play at the Sioux House, but if he did, you know he'd take him in a heartbeat. You know he would.
No.
Bro, he took Connor Tibbetts for like a donut. Like, if he would do it.
No, I don't know. No.
Okay.
No, all right, can't do that. That contract is scary. No.
Fine.
Full no move in the first four years. Nope. No.
All right. Fine. speaking of, I did mention the Robertson brothers, and we should talk about Jason Robertson, who is very much the better of the two brothers. I know a lot of people in Toronto want to know what's up with Nick, but Jason, 4-year deal, $7.75 million AAV signed. He held out during camp, and he got a little bit of a bridge deal, a little bit of an extended bridge deal. Dude is playing like he's in a contract year. How do y'all feel about Jason Robertson? He seems like he's criminally underpaid. Is it time that we start talking about Jason Robertson, Hart Trophy candidate? I think so. Not so loud, people.
Go ahead, Avery.
I was gonna say, no, he's
Guan Avery.
The way he's playing right now in Dallas, I mean, the man's got a shot. If he keeps his pace up, he definitely the shot. He should be in consideration. He should absolutely be a finalist. You know, at the start of the year, I wouldn't have said that, but he might be a guy who might challenge McDavid and Draisaitl for that and Matthews for that. I would like that. And speaking of payment, yo, it goes to show how hockey's money is so messed up. Like, he should, any other sport in the world, and he'd be making $25 million a year. That goes through a hockey's salary cap is so broken.
He's currently making less money than JT Miller. Oh, not currently. Sorry. Next year. Next year, he will make less. This year, he's
still I'm bringing up JT Miller. Stop making JT Miller happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh, my God. I think the thing that's interesting is that, like, JT Miller is, like, as far as the contract goes, he's like the modern day Max Pacioretty. Remember when Pacioretty was just like lighting goalies up, and then you looked at his contract and he's like, he's only making that. Mil. Well, it was like 4.5 mil. I think
he was like on Dallas, the best bargain deal in the league.
I think we're gonna look at Jason Robertson's deal at the end when he needs that extension and say, like, he's gonna put up a whole bunch of points, a whole bunch of goals, and we're gonna see him have a whole bunch of production, but with making this deal that it's like, how is he not making like double digits or like a high nine or something like that? And again, I'll say selfishly, I think it's great that we have a top player in the league that looks different right now. We're showing that diversity, showing that, hey, it's not only a particular type of player that can be a star producer in the league. So I think that's great as well.
You think Dallas has enough assets to trade for a JT Miller? Maybe they could use him on I don't know. I was just trying to think of different places for her.
I think they have enough like aging bad contracts between Ben and Seguin that they don't need another one.
Jamie Benn, by the way, on pace to have like his best year in like 5 years. His stats are not going down.
He still makes 9.5. Damn.
Yes. For like the next 7 years.
I mean, that could work. Ben for JT Miller.
No. What?
No.
Listen.
Hey, Ben, how are you making
that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense for anybody.
Hear me out, though, right?
Okay. What?
You have one player who puts up a lot of points but is signed forever. And then you have another player who is starting to put up points but is only signed for 2 more years. So, like,
Yeah, it works for the Stars. What's in it for the Canucks?
They don't have to pay JT Miller for another 8 years.
But JT Ben's better? JT Ben's better?
He has two more years after this year than he's done.
More years. I thought there were more years.
No, he's only two. It's only two more years after this one.
Oh.
Huh? See? Julian, come back. I was right. I'm right. Acknowledge my point.
As you can tell, folks, Julian stepped away for a second to, I think, get a drink. And he's back.
Acknowledge my point. I'm right.
I want to hear way longer than that.
No, he's only signed for two more years after this one.
So wait, hold on a second. So Jamie Benn, how much is Jamie Benn making?
He makes 9.5. So he made 9.5 for two more years.
So if they flip the contracts for each other, this is a ting, by the way. No one accused me of drinking beer on set.
Oh, here you go.
That's a West Indian classic.
That's a West Indian classic, my guy. So wait, so if they find a way to so 9.5 mil, and JT Miller makes how much next year?
Year he makes 8. Does he make 8 next
8
year?
Eight for seven.
That sounds right. Yeah.
I don't. And then Jamie Benn's only making that money for another year?
Two.
For another 2 years after this year?
Mm-hmm.
So you get a contract that's suited to expire.
Mm-hmm. He's from BC. Right? Right?
That's great.
Did we just come up with a feasible trade idea?
Imagine the first game.
It's JB Benn. Like he's like the face of that Dallas Stars team.
Is he though? Jason Robertson is, I think, for sure.
He is now. JB Benn's like their leader. He's their captain. Like
I don't know, man. I think they're probably gonna get in. They have to get to a point where they have to start looking at those players who are like part of the old core and start saying, this is Jason's team. We have to start like moving them out. Like they extended Sagan, so like he's gonna be there. But like Benn, like I think Benn's a player that you can move. Right. Again, like the fact that it's only two more years at 9.5, like that's actually that's pretty decent. Not ideal, but it's better.
I think for next episode, we might have to do something with like fake trades. We have to get people to tweet us fake trades.
Evaluate.
Oh, I like that.
Send us your best JT Miller trade.
Yes.
And then we like break them down and see if they're feasible. Huh? Hey, sick.
I love this.
See, now you know it's going to be Vancouver fans making up at least 15 trades of Miller going to Edmonton.
Also, Toronto trades.
This time last year when people, leading up to the trade deadline, people were like, yeah, I would say no to JT Miller for Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook.
JT Miller is our best. That?
So many people in Vancouver were like, I would not want Alex Newhook and Bowen Byram for JT Miller.
Ooh, the benefit of hindsight.
Hindsight, man.
Wow.
Omar, you were onto something with Ben for Biller. It's not as a cockamamie thought as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd ever say the word cockamamie, but
that's a good one.
That's just how weird this show can get sometimes.
That's right.
Thank you all for watching and paying attention to the show. Whenever we are on, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Avery. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And seriously, tweet us fake trade ideas. We might do something with it. Peace, guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere.
acast.com.